Well, I guess here we go with yet another episode of The Drive to Stay Alive. I wasn't intending to record it again today because it is Monday. Although it is Monday, I wasn't intending to record. That's because we've kind of run out of things to talk about here, unfortunately. And it's kind of a bad thing because there should always be something to talk about. There should always be like a pressing issue on my mind. Or there should always be, I guess, something wrong with my life that causes me to like want to fix it and to try to figure everything out and, you know, whatnot. And thought about it for a while, and you know, I even browsed over some topics that I had saved for, I guess a rainy day when I had run out of anything else to say, and none of those were appealing to me. But then I thought about it this morning, actually kind of more last night. I was kind of tossing and turning. I haven't been sleeping right again. I was up at like 3 a.m. and a friend of mine, that's kind of stretching it. A former coworker of mine who I worked with at the movie theaters, and I worked there from like 99 to 03. So this is, you know, more than 8-10 years ago. He had just recently passed away. And a friend of mine on Facebook last night shared the obituary with me. And it's weird because, and this kid's name is Sam. He's my age, probably late 29 to 28 to 31, something like that. So around my age, which is one of the first things that kind of struck me, because it's kind of like me dying, which is scary. I mean, anytime somebody near my age dies, like within 10 years, it's just kind of like, wow, that could just as easily be me. And it's a little scary. But the thing that struck me, so sometime prior to Christmas, I had found out through Madman Dave Foley. And like I said, I haven't thought about this kid Sam probably since I left the theaters, probably 03. And I haven't seen him since. We weren't Facebook friends. I knew nothing about him. So this is kind of where I'm coming from, how, you know, that was like a current situation, I suppose, between the two of us. But even so, when I found out that he went to the hospital, and it was pretty serious. I don't really know medicine or medical conditions or anything, but he had gout. I have no idea what that is without looking it up. But that something led to something else. I think he had pneumonia. Then he had like kidney or liver failure, something like, I mean, everything just kind of, he went in the hospital with one thing and everything just kind of compounded. And then did just find out the other day that he did pass away as a result of these, as of these medical conditions. And yeah, that was sad. But then I read the obituary about 3 a.m. this morning, and I kind of felt worse, because I remember putting together Timmy's obituary, how we had to choose the words that kind of best described him. And it was difficult, because how do you sum up somebody's life in like a short little blip in the paper? So you wanted to pick your words correctly, you know, like joyfully, passionate, loving. You wanted to pick like some of the best descriptive words that would really describe who he was. And then in there, like, you include, we included, of course, you know, his grand, you know, the grandparents, you know, survived by his mother and father and brothers and sisters and cousins and, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, normal to include an obituary. But then we threw in a little line at the end of Timmy's. We just said that, you know, Timmy's jamming, he's running with Lassie because obviously, I mean, our dog Lassie died 2010, I think October 2010 maybe. And Timmy was really close to Lassie. And so, you know, we're just like, well, Timmy's running with Lassie again. And we said, well, he's jamming in the Heavenly Band. So he gets to play again, I guess. But I mean, ours, it was nice. I really liked what we did with Timmy's obituary. But it was pretty standard length, pretty standard things thrown in there, and it's very nice. But here's where it comes back. So then I had read Sam's last night, and this was like the longest obituary I've ever seen, like not about a famous person. Because the famous people, like, they'll write an entire article about them, summing up their career and all the works they did and how they impacted this such and such life. And he got to start doing this. He came from this humble background of, you know, you've read them before. Like, anytime like a famous person dies, they, you know, there's a big write-up on them. But Sam, as far as I know, wasn't a famous person. But the write-up that his family did was incredible. I mean, I'd like to see the actual size of it in the paper, because the online version, it was at least double, if not triple, what we wrote for Timmy. And I know that I could probably write on and go about Timmy, but I mean, those things cost money, and there's like an issue with immediacy and everything, but like your life is not really just summed up in that little paragraph. But having not talked to this kid and talked to this, you know, guy Sam in nearly 10 years and not knowing anything about him, you're just reading this paragraph about him, it's just like, it made me, I guess, regret that. The fact that I didn't stay in touch with him, because he sounded like such an amazing person. And he was, too. I mean, when I knew him, I never had any issues with him whatsoever. So he was really nice to me. Always willing to help out at work. He was one of the, like, the assistant managers, but he was never, like, the bossy kind of manager. He was never... He pulled his weight. And then he did that, and he did his job, and then he helped you out with your job if you needed to. So I knew he was a really good, he was a really great guy. But reading some of the stuff like his family said about him, I was just kind of blown away, because he just sounded like he had such an incredible impact on people in just, you know, a short time on this earth, in 30-ish years. And I hate to make this about me, but let's face it, this is my podcast. This Drive to Stay Alive is about me. This is the whole reason I'm doing this thing. And if you don't like it, why are you listening? But I thought about it, and I'm just like, how would people write about me if I had died? Like, would... Have I impacted people in such a way that everybody just be like so upset by it? And yeah, I'm sure some people like my mom and Jenny and stuff would be, I don't know, they'd be sad and everything. James, my dad, and everything. But I think for the most part, I don't think I've done enough on this planet that people would care that much. Like, everybody would care. Everybody would be like, oh, no, that sucks. Iceman died. Like, I'll go to his funeral and everything, but... Have I really made that much of an impact on this world? I think I've done my fair share. I certainly have done more than not. Because I've tried to make a lasting impact with the blog stuff I do, the website, and other random stuff like that. But I still don't feel like it's enough. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, like a couple of things we've been talking about during this series is that I've never been in love. There's never anybody like that, say like an old person that, not an old person, not like a senior citizen, but like an old girlfriend that's just kind of like, oh man, like, He was my first love, or that was my first kiss, or he was my first time. Like, there's none of those, like, that girls that would be all sentimental, just that the fact, oh, like, I remember him so well because of this and that. Like, there's no, obviously I have no kids that would be like, you know, now have to grow up without a father. I think my friends would kind of move on. I don't know. It's kind of like worry sometimes because, like, for instance, with Timmy, sometimes, and I know Jenny feels the exact same way, we feel like we're the only people who care. I mean, obviously, my mom cares, but she doesn't really, I don't know. I'll leave her out of this just because I know she probably cares more than us. I know it impacts her more than us probably. So I'll leave her out of this talk for now. But as far as like me and Jenny go, we just kind of, we feel like nobody else cares. Like, when I post something about Timmy online, like, people hit the, you know, on the Facebook, they'll put, like, a like comment, but they won't say anything about it, they won't offer their opinion as to what they think. It's kind of a weird thing. And then, all the time, if I don't put much, like, I try to stay off of Facebook as much as possible, but when I do put something in there about Timmy, it's like, it's really hard for me to talk about it, but I know I have to. And so when I talk about it and then I get no response, it makes it more difficult, because it kind of is just like, why do I even bother if nobody else cares? And obviously, yes, being his brother, me and Jenny, it's gonna hurt us more. Everybody else can go about their day to day, and they can, for the most part, ignore it. You'll think about it every now and then, like a memory will creep into your head, or you'll think of something funny and you'll want to text him or give him a call, or... But they don't have to think about it every single day. So it's, in a way, probably a lot easier for them. Fuck, I'm going to be late to work today. I don't know what happened, but... I don't know. This kind of makes me think of, I don't know, what's the point? all we do is just die and then we're just forgotten. Even though we certainly try to do some good in this world and make a lasting impression, to make a big impact upon the people we know, and then to find out in the end it's just kind of really all for naught, unless you, for whatever reason, do something quote-unquote great that's recognized by all of society. And I guess I pander for response on Facebook, like, all the time. I'll throw something out there, and Jenny does too. We just say, hey, you know, I'm feeling bad today. You know, give me some kind words or something about this. And some people will respond, but it's always like the same people. Like, there's just kind of, and I understand a lot of people either don't go on Facebook, or they don't comment, or there's some people that don't want to talk about it. And there's a lot of people on Facebook that don't know my brother, so what are they going to say? So I guess I understand to a point. But I also, I guess, recognize that I'm a very different person than most. And that's another thing. It's another thing that maybe I'll save for another day. Just about how difficult it is for me, because there's no one out there like me at all. Or at least that I've found so far. The closest person that was like me was Timmy. I think that's what makes this the most hard. Jenny and I are very similar, but just the whole differing sexes makes us incredibly different. Like, guys and girls just think and act differently. It's just the way it is. And no matter what kind of similarities we have, that will always be different. Timmy and I, like, even though we were separated by a couple years, which does change a lot of things, because when you're in high school, it's a lot different than you in college. You learn and grow so much in such a short amount of time that you have so many different world experiences that it's just really hard to compare lives. But even so, me and Timmy were pretty damn similar. And especially when he was going through a lot of his struggles, I could see why. And I can understand why, and I tried to talk him through it. But obviously, I failed. So, it's incredibly difficult not being able to talk about it to anybody but myself. Hence this podcast of me sitting here chatting. Like, I don't have anybody else to talk to about this. So I just talk to me. But you really kind of get no response. You get no reassurance. You get no help. You get nothing. So I'll talk about that at a later date. But I've been thinking, so with this, my friend, you know, this guy Sam, every time somebody dies, it makes me think about Timmy all over again. And I just kind of, I feel so awful for his family, who now has to go through, like, any of his siblings or his parents or his wife or friends, anybody that has to go through the kind of shit I'm going through with losing somebody you love. I can just feel awful. Because I don't want anybody to have to do that. It's inevitable. Everybody's going to die. You hope that it happens when you're old and you've lived a full life, but a lot of times, it seems like a lot of times lately, that everybody has been dying young. I've had two people I know in the last probably 3 months who are on my age that have died. And seems like it's just, it's something that's happening nowadays. It seemed like nobody ever died unless they were old. Now it seems like every couple of months another person dies. So, yeah, thinking about death. Unfortunately, which I guess makes this Drive to Stay Alive podcast even more important now, because now with thoughts of, I guess, dying being constantly on my mind, it's more important to find a reason to stay alive, to find a reason to keep on waking up every day and pushing yourself to be better or greater, or to leave that lasting impact upon the world and the people you know. So I'm gonna try, keep trying, I suppose. But no, I'm at work and I'm actually late to work, which is fucking hilarious to me for some reason. So we're gonna wrap this one up for right now. This has been the Drive to Stay Alive for the first part of today. And we'll certainly be talking to you more later. I'll talk to you more later on today. So in the meantime, just take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And we'll figure it out, right? We'll figure out how to not fear death, because life is so incredible and there's so many things in life worth doing. And talk to you later. Alright, well, I guess welcome to the second part of the Drive to Stay Alive. So, during part one of today's episode, we were talking about death. Unfortunately, because, well, death is a part of life, and also it is, there's, like, you know, the finite end to all of this, and we're all gonna die someday. But it's all, like, I've been trying to do this during this thing is to find, I guess, that reason and the purpose to kind of fill, you know, the in-betweens of life. It's like you're born and you die, but it's the in-betweens that count. Because the in-between, birth and death, is life. It's not like a new concept, or it's not like rocket science. That's just, it's the way it is. So I am trying to figure out two things, I guess. One, kind of what to do with this in-between, this in-between thing called life. Well, at the same time, I guess trying to figure out how to prolong death. And while it's true that we don't, I guess, set our death, we don't, it's only up to God, I guess, depends on how long you really got on this earth. Like I said, some people, like my brother, got 24 years. My this guy Sam I used to know and I was talking about earlier today, he got a little bit longer, but still only like 29 to 31, something like that. So I've been lucky, I guess. I've had 31 so far, but I'd kind of like to keep it going more. Kind of like to keep it going longer. And I don't want to die knowing that I didn't really do anything with my life, or I didn't really make an impact on anybody, or I didn't at least figure out the reason why I'm here. It's not an easy thing. Some people might realize it at an earlier age, and I'd like to at least try to stick around long enough to figure it out. And so, in an effort to try and prolong my life as long as possible, I've decided that now is the time to take better care of myself. It's not an easy thing to do. Mostly because I've fallen into some really bad habits. If you've ever met me, you know I'm of the larger persuasion. It's a lot easier to stay this way and to stay miserable for the rest of my life, because let's face it, I am. I'd rather stay at home by myself than to go out in public. I wear not regular clothes, I guess. Wear like track pants and jerseys because they're big and they're able to cover up my body more than, you know, say a pair of pants and a regular pair of pants and a polo shirt. I dress in layers. It's the reason I wear jerseys so much, other than the fact that I really love baseball. But a jersey is like, you know, a drape that you wear over you. It's like, you know, taking down the curtains and wearing them, and just, so, and it's unfortunately kind of my life has got to the point where it's just, it's pretty fucking sad. And it was easy, I guess, to get to this point, because I kind of was always at this point. When I was a kid, I was in pretty good shape or something. And then, like, when I got to, like, junior high, I started putting on the pounds. And then especially, like, in high school. And looking back, in high school, like, I felt bigger. I definitely didn't feel like a skinny person or athletic or anything like that. But looking back now at pictures of me in high school, I wasn't that big. Like, I was bigger, but I wasn't, like, crippling big. And I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and blame it on the fact that I started drinking as one of, like, the biggest reasons why I gained weight. Like I jokingly said in, an earlier podcast, about how beer pong made me the man I am today. But that's not far from the truth. As soon as I started drinking excessively, not only does beer have tons of calories in it and it's terrible for you in so many different ways, but when you're drinking all the time, you're not sleeping right, and you're also sometimes you get drunk and you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna eat some food, and you eat terrible foods at all hours of the day, and then it's all fast food and snack foods and sugar and everything. And then now that I switch to like booze, I'm mixing it with energy drinks and fruit punch and Mountain Dew and all the sugary sodas, I have a really poor diet, really poor drinking habit, I guess. So I was lying in bed the other night, last night, like I said, and I just don't feel comfortable as I am. And it's going to be really, really hard to change it. That's why people get fat. Nobody wants to be fat. You know what I mean? It's not fun. It's terrible. It sucks every single day in a thousand different ways. Nobody wants to be here, but it's so easy to do it and so hard to get out of it. I've tried to work out before. I've tried to alter my eating habits. I made a pretty good run of it last year in March when I started working out again. And I was actually going, you know, on a pretty regular basis to the gym. But then I don't know what happened. I think I just kind of... A lot of it I will blame on the fact that I got into a pretty poor mental state last year. I haven't been mentally right, obviously, since the death of Timmy. And it's really hard to be physically right when you're not mentally right. I'm nearing a point where I think I'm close to being on the right track, but I said also to reference an earlier podcast is the fact that I think I've done everything I can on my own in order to get myself mentally right. So I think I might need to seek professional help. So once I do something like that, it's admitting that I have a problem. And once I start going to the gym again, it's admitting I have a problem and I need to fix it. And the thing is, I can be good for like 2 weeks. Like the feeling that you get, like, if everything works out tonight as I hope, I'm going to go to the gym for the first time in 10 months. And a workout for like 45 minutes, an hour, as far as I can push my body on the first day, which is not very long. And you get a really good feeling after working out. Yeah, because that's part of exercising is, you know, you're breathing, you're moving your body, you get all these like endorphins and you get this kind of natural high. And that's, some people really dig exercising because it does give you that kind of high feeling. And it feels really good that first time, especially when you're not used to it. And then the next day, your body just kind of feels awful because you're using muscles that you don't normally use. I mean, I sit at a computer all day long. I don't use muscles like for shit. That's the other thing. That's one of the other reasons I need to get into shape, because even just sitting at a computer all day is starting to become uncomfortable. So I have so much weight that I'm just kind of feel like I'm just being dragged down and compressed upon myself. It's not a very good feeling at all. It's actually quite awful. And then, of course, the biggest reason for doing it is the fact that I'm not getting any younger. If I'm going to make something of my life, as far as, you know, meeting a girl and going out, enjoying and living life and possibly having kids and having a reason to live, it's going to be because I'm healthy enough to live. And I can only be healthy enough to live if I'm physically and mentally healthy enough. I can't just sit here and figure out how to get my mind right if I don't get my body right too, because they're interconnected. It's all the same thing. It's frightening. It's really frightening because I thrive on misery. I thrive on being able to complain about stuff and, you know, look and be jealous of everybody else and be like, how come their lives are so amazing and mine not? I love to complain and just all that kind of shit. And it's like I'm almost scared to be happy, because I know I would be. If I was physically fit, I have a good enough personality and a good sense of humor and good intelligence, and, you know, I like to do things, and where it's like I feel like if I were to be more happy, like in with my body, I would be happier. I'd be happy. I could probably like nail all sorts of women and I don't know, like march in parades and whatever skinny people do. I don't know. I wouldn't know. like climb rock walls and I don't know. Whatever normies do. And it's like I feel like I'm missing out on this whole life, I guess. I'm missing out on so many things in life because I'm not in the same position as most people. And so time's now, because it's January and just two and a half short months, February and March, and the rest of this month I'll be back to work at Miller Park. And I stay pretty active in the summer, like between working at Miller Park and walking around there, and also just doing things outside in the summer. And I stay pretty active, but I need to get to a position to be active first, as I'm pretty much inactive right now. So I kind of need to kickstart it with a good 2 months of, you know, working out four times a week, just to kind of get myself in a position where I can be active all summer. Because at my current state right now, it would just be awful. I wouldn't, you know, so that's the scoop right now, I suppose. We're gonna try doing that. I'm gonna try to figure something out for the time being. If it works out, it works out. If not, I don't know what the hell I'm gonna do. Because that was kind of got a lot riding on this thing called life. And I suppose we'll pick this up maybe at the end here, but this is it for just the time being. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and continue this episode of The Drive to Stay Alive. If only, I guess, to try to keep figuring out the ending to this story. I doubt that's going to happen in the time it takes me to get from point A to point B. But hey, I mean, Jesus rose from the dead in 3 days. So anything can happen, right, pal? No, but where I left off was talking about how, dude, I really gotta get into better physical shape. And a lot of that needs to kind of start with my eating and drinking habits. Certainly was attempting to make a head start on that today by I guess, you know, eating a balanced meal, like, for breakfast. And then I don't normally eat lunch. I don't eat lunch at work. I know it's not good to skip meals or anything like that, but I'm just not hungry at lunch. So my kind of philosophy is, like, when I'm not hungry, I shouldn't eat. Just because, like, it kind of seems pointless. Of course, I break that philosophy all the time. But for me, for the most part, I think I'm decently. I probably, if anything, I eat at, like, the wrong time of day. Like, I don't have the metabolism that I used to. In fact, I don't know if I even had really good metabolism, but since I stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, I get hungry around, like, midnight or 1 a.m. Because normally you'd be asleep and you'd be able to fight those urges pretty easily just by continuing to sleep. But it's harder to fight those, I guess, when you're sitting there awake. Because me, I'm kind of one of those people, if there's one bad habit that I really have, it's that when I'm bored, I eat, I guess. And if my social life pretty much involves me sitting here talking to myself, that's my way of, like, getting out of the house and driving around, then yeah, I'm bored an awful lot. I just kind of keep eating. I'd almost go so far to say as I have an eating disorder. And I know when everybody thinks eating disorder, they think, like, was it, like, necrophilia? No, wait, that's when you fuck dead people. What's that? Bulimia. Necrophilia. Bulimia or anorexia. One's where you, like, don't eat. One's where you throw up after you eat. Is that the difference? Whatever. I never... I wouldn't know. I'm morbidly obese. But it's the kind of thing, like, it. That's why, like, I don't talk about this ever, because it sounds stupid for me to say I have an eating disorder, because everybody assumes eating disorder and they assume, like, the not eating disorder. But there is also the kind where, yeah, you, like, compulsively overeat. Like, for instance, like, I have enough money and I have enough food. Like, trust me, look at me, I'm not going hungry. But I still have, like, a bum mentality. If there's food, I can't stand to watch it go to waste. And, like, if there's, like, free food, then I, like, feel like I have to eat it. Or if there's leftovers or something like that. Like, I watch TV shows. Like, I was watching Scrubs last night, and there were a couple slices of pizza left, and they were just sitting there in the box, and they weren't eating them. And, like, knocked them off the bed, like, onto the floor, and I got sad. So I was like, oh, man, you're not eating that pizza? Like, I will. And I wasn't hungry at all. But it's like, I cry when food is wasted. So I was like, dude, let me get that. Like, I love free eats, and I just eat it. Like, Friday at work, this chick Cheryl at work, you know, gave me a box of, like, 3 donuts. And I don't need 3 donuts. I don't need 1 donut. What did I do? I ate all 3 of them, like, right there at work. Like, at my desk, like, just fucking stupid. I don't know why I have, like, this stupid compulsion to just eat. Like, I can't stop myself. It's insane. Like, tonight I went to my dad's house, and I ate pot roast at his house. It was really fucking good pot roast, don't get me wrong. You know, and it was, what I ate is probably, I'd probably say, aside from the big hunk of meat, like, a standard portion of food. And actually, I probably could have cut the meat in half, and that would have been like a standard portion. But it ended up probably being a well-balanced dinner. I had like meat, carrots, and potatoes, and there's some like onions in there, and so like I probably, if I just ate that, if I had, cause like okay, yeah, I'm drinking Slim Fast for breakfast to avoid, you know, eating other kinds of stupid shit. I know Slim Fast alone won't help me lose weight, but it certainly can't hurt, because if I'm not eating like crap for breakfast, if I just have that, that's cutting out some calories, but still giving me like the vitamins and shit I need. So took care of that for breakfast. Nothing for lunch. I had one candy cane at work. And then I had the pot roast for dinner. Now that, and if I drink a bunch of water, I should have a fine balanced like food for the day, where I shouldn't be exceeding like my caloric limit, and I'm also not eating any shit. I had one soda, but it was a Pepsi Zero, or whatever the fuck they call it, Pepsi Max, zero calorie soda, right? Cool. And so I would have been fine. Would have been perfectly fine. And I even started this thing where it's like, I drink way too much, as far as like beer and booze goes and everything. And I feel really bad about it, because when I take out my recyclables and how many empty bottles of rum or whiskey I have, it's upsetting. I'd say I'm an alcoholic, but I'm like never drunk. I just drink a lot. My tolerance is through the roof right now, where it's like I'll have a couple drinks and like nothing. It sucks. I guess I cannot see why that's can be a good thing at all. So it's gotta suck by default. And so I'm just like, all right, well, here's one thing I can positively do to kind of change my life, and that's no midweek drinking. Save the drinking for the weekends. Because right there, just, you know, you're cutting out 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and, you know, go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So 4 days a week where I'm not consuming all these empty calories and sugar and carbs and whatever else kind of shit is in beer and liquor. So that's got to be a good thing, right? All right. So I already said like what I did with my day, right? Perfectly ready to go home after leaving my dad's house and just call it a night. And if I just, you know, had a couple glasses of water, I would have been like well on my way. And I was actually thinking about working out tonight too. So I would have been all well on my way to, I guess, starting off day one right. But then I remembered I promised my friend Jake I'd stop by his house. He's a big Notre Dame fan. Notre Dame's playing Alabama in the college football championships, I guess. I'm not a big fan. I don't even really know what goes on in college football. So I can't pretend to imagine anything beyond that. I just know those two are playing each other in the game. But he's having people over, and I'm just like, yeah, sure, you know, I'm trying to make an effort to do things, to like get out of the house. Like, I do really enjoy spending time at home working on my various sites and everything like that, and, you know, not wearing pants and things like that. But I really should lead a more social and active life. So getting out of the house is a good thing. So I'll blame it on the fact that I'm like, you know what? He's a good buddy of mine. I work with him at Miller Park. We don't talk much in the off season, just because I spend so much time during the season that you kind of just during the off season forget to hang out. So go over to his house. which would have been perfectly fine, except while I'm there, so I already ate dinner, right? And I was at his house, I ate two tacos, loaded up, sour cream and cheese and everything like that, and then drank a beer. Right there, that probably just pushed me over the limit as far as all the goodwill I was trying to do today. And on top of that, it's 10:30 at night, and I don't feel like going to work out. And I probably won't, because my stomach's like all good and full now, and I'm tired and lazy and shit. So I basically just ruined my day. So it's just kind of like, while I was trying to figure out a way to positively impact one portion of my life as far as like social and just not sitting at home feeling like a piece of shit all the time, actually going out and hanging out with people and be seen outside of my living room, I was trying to work on that, and I end up negatively affecting another part of my life. Great, right? But if I go tomorrow, I'll still be all right, because I want to go like every other day. But here's the problem. You ever heard of like tomorrow, you know, well, today we'll do this. Tomorrow I'll diet. Tomorrow I'll work out. Tomorrow this. So you always promise for tomorrow. But the problem is that when it is today, you still like promise for tomorrow. So you never actually get anything done today. You just kind of plan on doing it later. So I kind of just feel like a piece of shit right now, because I know I'm not going to go work out tonight when I really should, if I want to get any healthier or to drop any of this weight. So for me, it just comes down to, I guess, a lack of motivation and a lot lack of willpower in order to get the job done, I guess. And that's kind of how I've always been. It's probably like the story of my life. World of potential, but never really act upon it. One of these days, I'm hoping to prove myself wrong and actually do something great instead of just sitting around talking about it. But who the hell knows when that's going to happen. So this has been the Drive to Stay Alive, this current episode, whichever one it is, because I no longer know. And I guess we'll report on next week and kind of see if I have taken that positive step to, I guess, better my life, or if I'm still stuck talking about it, being all talk and no action. So I guess we'll find out soon. All right, later. Oh, and like I say every episode, I might be living my life as like a fat piece of shit with kind of a lot of issues and no motivation, no drive. But the point is, I'm still living. And every day that you're alive is like another day to celebrate the fact that you got another chance tomorrow to kind of right your wrongs and figure shit out. So even though it's bad to push everything off for another day, I should just be thankful that I will have another day to make another decision, to try to do something else with my life and try to figure everything out. So I know it's kind of a cop out, and I'm sorry, but just kind of the way it is. So take care, live life, enjoy it, figure out your reason to stay alive, and thanks for joining me on this journey as I try to figure out mine. Take care.